Welcome to this edition of Game Changers Live. This is your host, Dennis Trionis. Game Changers Live is sponsored by the Trionis Group, innovation in retained executive search in the marketing arena. Game Changers Live is the digital town square where we meet the leaders who are changing the landscape of the marketing world. Now let's get started with today's very special guest. Today I'm joined by my regular co-host on Game Changers Live, Norman Sherman. We're delighted to be here talking to David Paragamian, the president of Apothecom, a Huntsworth health company. David is a recognized leader in the healthcare world. He's a graduate of Hamilton College and completed the Executive Development Program at the Wharton Business School. Starting his career at Johnson & Johnson as a product director, Dave moved into the healthcare agency side of the business as chief operating officer of GSW Advertising. He then became president of Euro RSCG Life and CEO of Latin America and Asia Pacific for Euro. As I said, currently David is the president of Apothecom. Dave, welcome to Game Changers Live.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Let's start off by talking about what the Apothecom brand stands for and give us a sense of what the firm does.
Sure. Apothecom is the oldest and largest agency in the Huntsworth Health family of companies. Huntsworth Health is a holding company of boutique specialty agencies. And as I said, Apothecom is the oldest, largest piece. We had our roots in classic Medcom. And today the agency has evolved and grown so that we are truly a global brand with agencies here on the East Coast as well as the West Coast, San Francisco, agencies in London, Singapore, and in New Zealand in our Asia Pacific footprint. So we're a global healthcare communications agency serving the pharma industry.
So the world of healthcare communications agencies is dominated by these massive conglomerates, right? And you're a much smaller organization. How does that advantage you versus the bigger agencies, and how does it affect how you go to market?
Sure. So you're exactly right. I mean, Huntsworth Health is on a numeric ranking with the WPP holding company as the largest. We're probably sixth or seventh in that ordinal ranking. So we are clearly competing with the large holding companies and serving the same basket of clients, and we do. But we are absolutely a step size a bit smaller. I think that it's a competitive advantage for us. I think that the large holding companies, having been an alum of a large holding company, I think the large holding companies are formidable competitors and have their place. But I think with the landscape changing the way that it is, and I'd like to chat about that today, I think with the landscape changing the way it is, it uniquely benefits the marketer to be dealing with boutique agencies inside of the holding company model that somebody like we would offer.
Why is that? What advantages might you bring that the bigger conglomerate really couldn't?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think it gets back to what we're seeing in the industry right now. And what we're seeing is change, right? And one of the things that we've all heard over the years about, there was Generation X, there was Generation Y, and now I think it's Generation Flux. We are all in just a moment of tremendous change. And the marketers inside the pharma company, the biotech, the device company, they clearly are leading this life of flux and change. So fewer molecular entities being approved, their career paths themselves changing and evolving as the pharma companies, as we all know, major blockbusters coming off patents. So asking their brand managers do more with less, spend longer time and tenure on brands than they previously had been expecting. So I think the pharma companies have adapted and are in the process of adapting. And my proof point on that would be inside of pharma. If you think about the organization of the classic pharma company as a visual, inside that pyramid with the CEO, that man or woman at the top, the largest part of that pyramid has always been the base of that pyramid being the field sales organization that goes out and contacts the customer. And we know over the last 3 to 5 years that virtually every major pharma company, every diagnostic, every biotech company has made significant restructuring and cuts to the base of that pyramid, to those field sales jobs. Everybody's looking to do business differently non-personal selling, different types of selling structures with medical science liaisons and other approaches to getting the message to the customer, as opposed to the classic primary care model with the big broad base touching the customer. Now, you parallel that, as you said, Norm, to what's going on inside the agency world. Well, I would argue that the agency world, again, this visual pyramid with a CEO, a leader at the top, the biggest, broadest part of the agency pyramid is all those executors down at the bottom of the agency, all those junior graphic artists, junior copywriters, all built to deliver, here's my classic piece of two-page journal ad spread that we've been carrying into the client's offices for years. Well, the change that's going on inside the pharma company, I'm not sure every agency is going through that commensurate look at their model and their structure in terms of the value that they're bringing and the investments they're making in who's having that strategic contact with the brand team and adding that value.
I want to pick up on this theme because you started your life early on the client side.
Yes.
So having now had the advantage of working on the consulting and agency side of the world, help us understand, if you were king of the world of the biggest pharma company on the planet, knowing what you know now, how would you capture the high ground on customer communications, patient communications, physician communications in a way that that clients may not be focused on right now?
Sure. Well, I really appreciate that you've promoted me to king of the world today. So thank you very much. That's the highlight of my day. But, I think that one of the, another way to look at the question that you're asking is, sort of the benefit of some longitude in the industry and some hindsight. And I think that one of the benefits of that hindsight for me is that I think that the investment that these companies are making, the pharma companies, the device companies, the biotech companies are making in their marketing and their advertising is significant. However, that there is sometimes not the commensurate deployment of senior resources against that expenditure. So let me be very specific. So I can't tell you how many times I've been in presentations where the senior most marketer isn't there to evaluate, to review, to discuss, to see what the agency is bringing. And I think that to me is a, personally, that's a disappointment. And I think to your point, Dennis, if I had the benefit of hindsight and I could climb that mountain and be the king of the world, as you said, in the industry there, I certainly would counsel that if we're going to make an investment as big as we are, if we're going to set a positioning, if we're going to create a message hierarchy, if we're going to create a piece of advertising, I want to use that term very broadly, because I know that it's not all about a piece of advertising, but if we're going to create a big, important communication message, gosh, I don't think we want to delegate that down and down and down. I think we want to have the most senior minds involved in the process to make sure that we are driving this in a collaborative way and in a way that everybody feels good about.
So this is such an interesting area, right? Back in the day, agencies used to have access to more senior levels in the client organizations, right? Be it advertising or whatever was, maybe one of the most important arrows in the armament that the CEO had, and very often the CEO would get involved. I think it was more true in the consumer area than the pharma area, but still, I think true in both. And I think the CEOs have become more distant. The more senior people have become more distant over time. Why do you think that is? To your point, they should be involved, but they seem to be getting farther away from it. I'd be curious to get your understanding of that.
Sure. I mean, I think that like anything, there's always a confluence of reasons. And I'm sure part of it is the lives that these vice presidents of marketing, chief marketing officers are being asked to lead. They're being asked to do a lot of things inside their company. So they're pulled in a lot of directions, and I empathize. I also think that part of the reason that they may be taking a step away from and maybe not as hands-on participatory as you and I recall candidly, some of that may fall on the agencies. Because if the agency is invested only, as we talked a few moments ago, in here's the execution, then you know, maybe it's not worth that chief marketing officer, you know, her time to be in the room. And I think, again, now this ties back to something you and I talked about at the outset, which is, I think that's what benefits a holding company of our size in that mid-tier, that we're large enough to compete with the largest of the holding companies, but we're small enough that I find myself, and I know my direct reports find themselves, absolutely in the room, in the conversation with the senior client when strategy is being delivered, when positioning is being delivered.
So this is great. Are you finding that these clients are receptive to it and in fact are looking for that from their agencies?
You know, I think that over the years, over the last 10, 11 years of my career on the agency side at three holding companies now, two large holding companies, and now Huntsworth in this mid-size holding company. If I think about agency scorecards and agency review, when I sat across from a client at the end of the year and they were scorecarding our performance, invariably, even in the best reviews, in the best of circumstances, there was always a opportunity for growth identified for the agency in strategic contributions. And so I think that that to me is the validation across a wide swath of clients that that's what they're asking for, is bring me the senior level thinkers from the agency side to provide thoughts, recommendations about my business and engage me that way. And I think if you can do that, I think absolutely a chief marketing officer wants to make his or her time for that conversation.
Along those lines, what are the mosaic of skills that you see as becoming the most important, the most in demand by big pharma today from their agencies, those senior people at the agencies? What cross-pollination of skills do they need to bring to that brand manager and that group brand manager that's going to be really valuable?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I think it gets back a little bit to, we talked at the outset about the model and how the pharma company's model is changing, and is the agency's model changing? I think there are many agencies out there that would offer to the client that they're essentially, you know, Macy's, the greatest store on earth. We've got everything, all nine floors, whatever you need, I've got it. And
Gimbel's used to say that as well, didn't they?
Who? And you know, so I think that, you know, point made, point taken, you know, that again, one of the things that I love about the chair I sit in now is that the Huntsworth Health holding company, we really think about ourselves as a collection of specialty boutiques. We are not trying to be Macy's, and that we offer a best-in-class shopping experience. So, yes, there's a Tiffany's for jewelry. Yes, there's a Louis Vuitton for leather goods. Yes, there's Burberry's for scarves and gloves. And I think that approach, I think, allows for, to the point you're making, Dennis, the fact that we can have a very high-level conversation that's very relevant about a specific thing, whether it's about advertising, whether it's about public relations, whether it's about pre-launch market shaping for a brand. But what are those right things, as opposed to trying to position oneself as the ultimate generalist, which I'm not sure I've met him or her yet that's the ultimate generalist.
You're listening to Game Changers Live, and today we're talking with David Paragamian, the president of Apothecom. David, where are some of these skills that are increasingly in demand being developed today, in your opinion? Are they from the client side, the consulting side, the agency side, all the above?
Yeah, I think that there was a time when the career progression, that the best career progression was a very linear, stepwise career progression. And I think today, certainly, I know in my own personal background, I draw upon the fact that I spent sort of half my career on the client side in pharma and device companies, in marketing and sales management positions. And I spent the other half of my career in the agency world and leadership positions inside these holding companies. And so I think that to me, certainly that's part of my personal branding and what I believe I can offer in front of a client, trying to help them with their marketing challenges. And I think as we look for people inside our organization, there is no one cookie cutter that there's an exact aperture that I always need a triangle or I always need a square or I always need an octagon, but rather the diversity of experiences that someone has, I think, strengthens them as long as at the core, what they're about is they're a marketer and they love solving marketing puzzles and they love engaging around the marketing challenge with the client.
When you add up all of those individuals with those diverse skills, you generally create a culture of an organization, right? How would you define the culture of Apothecom? And is it what you want it to be, or are there places you're trying to take it?
So I think we're very fortunate at Apothecom as part of Huntsworth Health that our CEO for the network of Huntsworth Health is Neil Matheson, who was the original founder of Apothecom, who, like so many folks in this business, graduated from running a sole agency to a leadership position within the network. And Neil is somebody who very early on in the creation of the company put a value statement together to talk about the core principles of what we as a company believe in and the thing that we want all of our employees to hold topmost about putting the client first, acting with integrity, having a passion for the business, wanting to be in a leadership position, and above all, again, underscoring operating with integrity, being good people. And I think that value statement is still part of who we are. When I joined the company 5 months ago, the first thing that I did was get it made poster size, and I had everybody in the company sign it, just like the 53 men and women that signed the Declaration of Independence. I wanted everybody's name on the value statement so that it would be the first thing in our lobby when guests and clients came to see us, that we operate against those values and they haven't changed. And so I think that makes for me personally, a very exciting environment to come to work in every day, knowing that you're right, it is a very diverse group of men and women in account management and creative and scientific and strategy and digital. But the core, we're passionate about the business, we're passionate about the client. We're going to operate in a meritocracy where we take off the stripes on our sleeves at the door. And so as we sit around the table to solve a problem, it's about who's got the right idea to solve the problem, what's in the best interest of the client's brand, not about who's the senior most person sitting at whatever spot around the table.
Well, it's really interesting that you talked about having folks at the very outset sort of sign on to those core principles that sit at the foundation of Huntsworth and Apothecom. Let me pick up on that a little bit in terms of leadership. We meet lots of agency leaders, and it's a very intriguing science to us. I want to understand a little bit about your leadership style. If we were sitting at a restaurant talking to some of the folks that work for you, and we asked them off the record, what would we hear about David's management style, sort of the good, the bad, and the rest?
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
What, was that before he became anointed king or after?
Definitely before. You know, I think that among the things that people would say would be that I lead from the front in the sense that I never would ask someone to do something that I'm not prepared to do myself, and to be very specific. So if we're involved in a new business presentation and we're working on a Saturday, you know, not only am I in the office on Saturday, I'm the person that brought the Dunkin' Donuts, so I guess I'm responsible for raising everybody's lipid profile, but I do that on behalf of my clients. You know, I really do believe that, and again, this gets back to one of the things we talked about, which is I think clients want senior agency leaders that are engaged in their business, and I think the people inside the agency want to know that you're engaged in the business. You're not managing a spreadsheet. You're not managing a P&L, that you really care about the people and you care about the client's brand. So I really believe that you'd hear that I'm somebody that is leading from the front, not at some command post that's removed. I also think that you'd hear that I'm a very people-centric person. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the people. You know, over the course of the stops that I've made in my career, both on the client side at places like Johnson & Johnson, and I spent many years at Roche, and now on the agency side, I have sort of a string of pearls of all of the friends and colleagues of those years, and I enjoy those people. I have, on occasion, hired and brought people along with me who have come with me into different organizations. So, I always want to make sure that I take the time to understand the people that I'm working with on a human level. It also allows me to not only advance their careers, but also match talent to task of who's got the right personalities to engage on different clients and different businesses.
So how does that turn into a unique experience for the client as you're engaging, as that client engages with you, your team, Apothecom, and the Huntsworth organization in general?
I think first and foremost, what clients experience with me and with our team is that I'm not a face on an organizational chart in a pitch. I mean, I'm really somebody who is engaged on their business, you know, not just on pitch day, but the 364 days after that, so that they can count on my continued participation in the business, continued leadership of the business, and there for the good days and there for the bad days when they occasionally say, we need to talk about a different mix of talent on a business or any of those sorts of things that we do over time to make a team malleable, to adapt to changing conditions at a client. So I think that's where I would play from an ongoing basis in front of the client.
So if I may, I'd like this to bring this back specifically to what Apothecom does for a moment. You said has its roots in a classic medical education kind of agency. What's the role of medical education today in the marketing mix, in the pharma and healthcare broadly marketing mix? Is it changing? And what value do you see from what it is that you do that you can bring to the clients to help them in this conundrum that they're facing going forward?
Sure. And I think a lot of it starts with nomenclature, because when people hear MedEd or MedCom, they think from 10 years ago that it was about a CME grant to get a doctor at a symposium somewhere. Of course, as we know, that's couldn't be further from the truth about the way I would define MedCom and medical communications today. So the vast majority of our clients are folks with whom we have an agency of record type relationship. The vast majority tend to be those folks that are in a pre-launch environment or launching a new indication. So we come on board because of our roots in MedCom and our ability to work at a very scientific level, gathering the data, working with key opinion leaders, but to create the target product profile, the pre-launch positioning, the message hierarchy, unbranded disease state education, all those things leading up to launch to allow for successful launch. Because as we know that long before the marketing starts. So, we're typically engaged in that value chain. And I think that's our sweet spot. And again, it's back to, as I said, about our positioning of a collection of specialty boutiques. We don't describe ourselves as specifically an advertising agency, but a medical communications agency. I think about us as essentially a pre-launch agency. And whether it's a launch of a new brand, whether it's a launch of a new indication, we are uniquely scripted and skilled because of the folks that we have and the skill sets that we have to be a good partner and walk folks through that time period.
So there's a wonderful expression that goes something like a principle isn't a principle until it costs you something. So let's say you are this pre-launch agency for a new brand that's about to be introduced. And the brand that is now going to be introduced, and you've got a terrific relationship with them. Would you want to handle the brand post-launch? Would you try to move it to another part of Huntsworth? Or would you say, you know, we love you, we want to continue to work on pre-launch opportunities with other products that you're developing?
So since this is actually an election year, I'm going to give you a great answer that any one of the candidates running for president could give you, which is, I haven't had to be tested on that principle, Norm, because I'm 5 months in this role, in a leadership role inside of Huntsworth at Apothecom and Apothecom Scope Medical. But, I can look you in the eye today, and I think the right answer, obviously, is you have to stay true to who you are. You can't pretend to be something else. I can't differentiate myself from Macy's if I try and bleed and become Macy's. So we have a great, great, deep, talented group across all those Apothecom agencies I articulated around the world. We're great at what we do. We know that space. We know it extremely well. Our work has earned us long-term client engagements. So I think that as a network, we do have sister agencies inside of Huntsworth Health that are fantastic at what they do. And we do have folks who would, to your example, potentially pick up once we had somebody at the gate for launch and be able to carry forward. So we'd certainly make those introductions. And we also, and we currently do, cohabitate and play very nicely in the sandbox with large client brands where we have a role to play and another agency from another holding company has a role to play. And our job then is to collaborate with that WPP shop, Omnicom shop, whatever it is, and to collaborate appropriately and share appropriately, because again, it is in the client's best interest to do so. So we do that too.
Now, Dave, since you brought up politics, let me pick up on that. Assuming the current health laws get the blessing of the Supreme Court, how do you see the agency client interaction changing? How do you see the relationship between the patient and healthcare providers changing at Apothecom?
Sure. You know, I mean, I think if any of us knew that answer with great clarity and precision, we'd probably be
king of the world.
King of the world. or at least we'd be winning straw polls in Midwest states by, you know, greater than a handful of votes, right? So I think it's a complicated question, but I think what most of us can see as we try and part the fog in terms of what this healthcare landscape looks like is clearly there'll be, at some point, increased access, increased patients, more lives being covered, more people in primary care offices or NPPA offices getting healthcare. That number, depending on whose statistics you look at, that 30-40% of folks that are uncovered lives are at some grand majority of them are going to become covered lives in some sort of a health plan. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's not only obviously good public policy, but I also think that's great in our industry as an opportunity to, you know, from a public policy standpoint, great, but from an industry standpoint policy, a chance for us to impact those lives and to treat them effectively with different therapies. So I think for us, great opportunity for our clients, great opportunity. But I also know that it comes with great scrutiny. So there'll be a greater need for payer expertise. Again, back to, I don't know whether Macy's has a great payer department or not. I don't know whether it's better to go get your payer expertise in the boutique world. But, you know, clearly understanding that is going to be, you know, one of the hallmarks of what we need to do.
I want to move into the area of social media. You talked about generation flux. I get the sense from most people we talk to that it's a hang on and try to go for this ride kind of era in the communications business, especially in the healthcare business. How has social media figured into your equation? Is there a place for social media in the healthcare world? And if so, how does it play out in your organization?
Yeah, I think it's another one of the great unknown questions. We're waiting for guidance, as you know, and we continue to wait from the U.S. Government. For much of the client base that I currently have, where we're working pre-launch, obviously, it's not an issue because we don't have a product on the market to have communication about. Mm-hmm. What's social in that world, of course, is opinion leaders, whether they're in the U.S. or globally, who are connected in networks that we help facilitate for them to evaluate the clinical data, to evaluate the promise of the drug. So there are opportunities to do that appropriately in a pre-launch world. I think from a marketed product standpoint, everybody's dabbling, everybody's experimenting, and candidly, some people are dabbling and experimenting better than others, and mm-hmm. some people are clearly watching it happen.
You've been listening to David Paragamian on Game Changers Live. David, thank you for being on the show. You were a delight. You've given us some great insight into the world of advertising and healthcare. Norman, thank you for being our co-host.
Thank you.